And now, in book six is a long book. This will take a few minutes. This is the last book that we're going to go through this session. And in book six, Abdiel returns. Remember, in book five, he left. He left the host of fiends, and he's going back to God. He went because he thought they were going to their northern quarters to have a meeting, how they're going to glorify the Son and congratulate him. And it turned out that it was really a meeting, an underhanded meeting, how we're going to try and get back to get back at God. So Abdiel returns, and he gets praised by God for his loyalty. All night, the dreadless angel, unpursued through heaven's wide champaign, held his way till morn, waked by the circling hours, with rosy hand unbarred the gates of light, and went in. Abdiel comes to tell God, this is line 18 in book 6, war he perceived, war in prosynct, and found already known what he for news had thought to had reported. So Abdiel comes to tell God they're plotting against you, and God already knows. He already knows. And Abdiel is very glad to mix, line 21, among those friendly powers who him received with joy and acclamations loud, that one that of so many myriads fallen, yet one returned not lost onto the sacred hill. So they led him through their plotting, Abdiel, that he did not go with all of his former friendly angels. He left them. And God says, through the midst of a golden cloud, line 29, servant of God, well done. Well hast thou fought the better fight, whose single hast maintained against revolted multitudes the cause of truth. Beautiful, beautiful lines here. Then God sends Michael and Gabriel out. Line 44 of book 6, God says, go, Michael, of celestial armies prince, and thou in military prowess next, Gabriel. So Michael's in charge, and then Gabriel is his second in command, to, as it says in line 46, lead forth to battle these my sons invincible. Lead forth my armed saints by thousands and by millions ranged for fight. And they're going to punish the godless crew. And it says in line 53, into their place of punishment, the Gulf of Tartarus, which ready opens wide his fiery chaos to receive their fall. So God sends Michael and Gabriel off with armies, and they're supposed to drive out Satan and his myriad of angels to a place that's prepared below Tartarus. So spake the sovereign voice. That's line 56. And that's what he did. So he sends them out. And remember, this is still Raphael telling Adam. It is not happening now. We are looking back in time at it. Raphael's explaining the whole thing to Adam, how we had some who are fallen. What was it like when Michael and Gabriel took all of these myriads of angels to go out and rout out Satan the fiend with all of his bad angels? Well, what was it like? Line 68. On they move indissolubly firm, nor obvious hill, nor straightening vale, nor wood, nor stream divides their perfect ranks, for high above the ground their march was, and the passive air upborne their nimble tread. And then we have another Homeric simile, as when the total kind of birds fly off. So these good angels marching off to go and drive the bad angels down into Tartarus or hell, they're like birds leaving. You can imagine as you see the birds fly overhead in that triangular formation, all of these angels, they also do not need to touch the ground. Very interesting. And of course they're taking with them, between lines 80 and 85, it talks about their spears and helmets and shields. So again, we're following a Homeric pattern here, a heroic pattern. And then line 93 tells us that angels should with angel war. Hard for them to believe. This is a civil war in heaven. And of course, the apostate, line 100, is sitting in his sunbright chariot. He's even in a chariot and has flaming cherubim and golden shields. And then he gets off his gorgeous throne and walks up to Abdiel. Since Satan drove Abdiel out, or Abdiel left and said, I'm not afraid, but I'm leaving on my own. It's very appropriate that the first face-off will be between Michael and Abdiel. This is Homeric. This is the heroic method. Milton is following Homer's pattern here. This is how it happens. You have two heroes, one from each side. They face off, and basically all else stops. All of time stops. And the reader or the listener is just finding out about these two warriors. And they'll face each other. One will vaunt. The other will vaunt. They'll have some kind of a battle, and one will win. Then we go to the next pair. And that's what that's the pattern Milton follows, too. So in line 113, Abdiel is vaunting. Oh, heaven, that such resemblance of the highest should yet remain. Okay? Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that anything left like an angel is still on your face. You're so ugly. So they're vaunting against one another. And then, so pondering, and from his armed peers, line 127, he steps opposite. Halfway, he meets his daring foe, line 129. At this prevention, more incensed, and thus securely him defied. Line 130. Proud art thou met? Thy hope was to have reached the height of thy aspiring unopposed, the throne of God unguarded. And so Abdiel is still vaunting. Did you really think you could defeat God? Whom the grand foe with scornful eye askance, this is line 149 in book 6, thus answered. So Abdiel had his vaunting, his formal speech. He vaunted. They face one another off, singly, eye to eye. All else of time seems to stop. No one else is moving. No one else does anything. This is exactly the way Homer does it in the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's very similar to watching a movie, and time seems to stand still for all of the characters except the two main characters who face each other. And this is Abdiel and Satan. So he is the grand foe. Now it's his turn, Satan's turn. Whom the grand foe with scornful eye askance thus answered, I'll for thee, but in wished hour of my revenge, first sought for thou returnest from flight, seditious angel, to receive thy merited reward, the first assay of this right hand provoked. And so Satan says, now it's my time to get you. Then, line 171, Abdiel has another reply. In brief, thus Abdiel stern replied, apostate, still thou errest, blah, blah, blah. Another big, long, formal speech. And then when we get to line 188, we had the first strike. So saying, and this is Abdiel striking Satan, a noble stroke he lifted high, which hung not, but so swift with tempest fell on the proud crest of Satan, that no sight nor motion of swift thought, less could his shield such ruin intercept. 10 paces huge he back recoiled, and then on the 10th, on bended knee, he drops his spear. So we have this one battle. Now remember, Raphael is telling this story to Adam. It's not happening right now. This all has already taken place when we start out in book one with the devils, Satan and his legions, lying in the black pit, burning in darkness. In line 201 of book 6, we have mention of the presage of victory. This presage of victory means everybody on the good side knows they're going to win. They simply are going through the motions. It appears that these bad angels do not get it, that they cannot win no matter what. So Michael, in line 202, bids to sound the archangel trumpet. So they blast it. And the faithful armies rung, line 204, Hosanna to the highest. So they rush at one another, line 215, they rush together, and then line 222, they arm him with the force of all their regions. So we have this war going on. Then line 259, they starts out intestine war in heaven. This is civil war, intestine. This means civil war. Michael has a formal speech, line 262, author of evil, unknown till thy revolt, unnamed in heaven, blah, blah, blah. He has his formal speech that goes right through line 280. And then in line 281, so spake the prince of angels, to whom thus the adversary. And so now Satan is replying. Now we have Michael and Satan facing off with one another. First we had Abdiel and Satan, now we have Michael and Satan. And Satan says, line 283, "Nor think thou with wind of airy threats to awe whom yet with deeds thou canst not." In other words, Satan says Michael's full of hot air. Then he has his speech, line 296, they ended parley, they end talking, and they address for fight, and you can imagine the clashing of swords and all of that. They are challenging one another. And so now on line 326, we find that, what does Michael do to Satan? "But with swift wheel reverse, deep entering, shared," which means sheared, "all his right side. Then Satan first knew pain." And so he writhes and he's convulsed, so sore. And we find out that Satan can be injured, but apparently not killed yet. We read line 332, "A stream of nectarous humor issuing forth, sanguine." That means sanguine means yellow, icky stuff, "such as celestial spirits may bleed." So Satan is injured, and then it turns out he cannot be killed. Now, during this time, we find out in line 354, "Meanwhile, in other parts, like deeds deserved memorial." Okay, "other deeds similar to this deserve to be remembered, where the might of Gabriel fought, and with fierce ensigns pierced the deep array of Molech, furious king." So, we had the face-off between Satan and Abdiel, and Michael and Satan, and then we find out that in another part, meanwhile, Molech has been fighting Gabriel, who is God's second in command. We have reference to the whole crew of them in line 370 as the atheist crew, and they are fighting. This is very reminiscent of the Iliad. Satan is rallying his men, line 418, trying to encourage them. They're going to lose, but they're trying to bolster themselves. "Oh, now in danger tried," 418, "now known in arms, not to be overpowered, companions dear, found worthy not of liberty alone, too mean pretense, that's too little for us, but what we more affect, okay, what we really want, honor, dominion, glory, renown," and that's what they want. So they feel if he can't defeat us today, maybe he just can't defeat us. Then they find out, line 435, "imperishable, and though pierced with wound, soon closing and by native vigor healed." They realize, oh my goodness, we can be injured severely, but we can't be killed. Then they decide, maybe whoever can get better weapons will win. Line 464, "He who therefore can invent with what more forcible we may offend our yet unwounded enemies, or arm ourselves with like defense, to me deserves no less than for deliverance what we owe." Maybe we can find better weapons and win. So they decide, you know, if the stuff above ground is great, think how strong the stuff that's buried in there. Line 474, "This continent of spacious heaven, adorned with plant, fruit, flower, ambrosial, gems, and gold, beautiful things, whose eye so superficially surveys these things as not to mind from whence they grow." Okay, if they're beautiful above ground, they grow from the ground. Think what might be under there. And this is when they start digging around. They worry about the Thunderer, line 491, of course that is God, the Thunderer of his dreaded bolt, and this is a Homeric simile making God look like Zeus, who of course throws the thunderbolt. We had reference, just a few lines up, I missed, 485, "which into hollow engines long and round, thick rammed, and at the other bore with touch of fire." Those are the cannons, line 485, those are the cannons. So each one is so jealous of this cannon. Line 498, "each how he to be the inventor missed. Each wished they had been the inventor of this incredible cannon." And it's stinky. Line 513, "sulfurous and nitrous foam. These are ingredients of gunpowder." And Raphael tells Adam there are things like this in the earth. Let's see. Excuse me, as I try to go through here, not make this too long. They hide the cannon Let's see, line 555. To hide the fraud, at interview both stood a while, but suddenly at head appeared Satan, and thus was heard commanding loud. And then he tells him to go ahead and do it. And we have those puns that I mentioned as we read through it. Line 564. Heavenly witness thou anon, while we discharge freely our part, which to interpret would mean while we tell you our part. But of course the pun is that they're saying discharge our part, which means they're going to discharge that canon. Do as you have in charge, and briefly touch what we propound and loud that all may hear. So these are all jokes he's trying to make. And Raphael, remember, is telling this story to Adam. So line 571, he says, which to our eyes, this is Raphael, to our eyes discovered new and strange. So they think this is very odd, and they are describing the canon. It looks like a log of oak or something. So this is the battle, book six. That's why book six is so long. Now, Satan thinks they have a chance to win. We have line 620, some vaunting of Belial. Then they are feeling very good about themselves, line 628. So they among themselves in pleasant vein stood scoffing, heightened in their thoughts beyond all doubts of victory. They thought, oh my goodness, we're going to win, doubtless. Eternal might to match with their inventions, they presumed so easy, and of his thunder made a scorn. So first they heard thunder. Then this is the section where the hills and the dales, remember, start coming up. They run in terror, line 647. Be sure, and terror seized the rebel host. And you can imagine this is Raphael telling Adam. Terror seizes them when coming towards them, so dread they saw the bottom of the mountains upward turned. Kind of a funny part. And now the good angels are throwing mountains, line 664. So hills amid the air encountered hills. And line 674, this tumult and permitted all advised that to his great purpose he might so fulfill. And what is the purpose? Why has God even allowed any of this battle to go on? Line 676 tells us to honor his anointed son avenged upon his enemies and to declare all power on him transferred. And that's why he waited till this time. And then in line 680 says to his son, effulgence of my glory, and he says, now I want you to go take them. Line 691, save what sin hath impaired, which yet hath wrought insensibly, for I suspend their doom. Then we see the foreshadowing, line 698. 2 days are therefore past, the third is thine, for thee I have ordained it. So the battle has gone on 2 days. The third day is for Christ. And, of course, this is foreshadowing the third day when Christ will also win when he raises from the dead. And this is so the glory, line 701, may be thine of ending this great war, since none but thou can end it. Very interesting. We progress, and the son wants to please his father, 727, that thou in me will well pleased, 728, declarest thy will fulfilled, which to fulfill is all my bless. And the third sacred morn, line 748. The third sacred morn began to shine. Now it's time. Time for the sun to get his chariot out. And so now we see the chariots of God, line 770, half on each hand were seen. He on the wings of cherub rode sublime on the crystalline sky with the sapphire in sapphire throned. This is beautiful imagery here. And line 781, at his command the rooted hills retired each to his place. When they see the Christ, line 791, they hardened more by what might most reclaim, grieving to see his glory. At the sight took envy, okay, they're still envying, and aspiring to his height, they still want to take his place, stood re-embattled fierce, by force or fraud, weaning to prosper. There is another formal speech. This is the Son of God speaks, line 801, stand still, ye bright array, ye saints. Remember, he tells everyone else to stand still because, line 803, vengeance is his. God has told him to go take care of these bad angels. And that is what he does. And so line 837, before him, such as in their souls infixed plagues, they astonished all resistance, lost all courage, down their idle weapons dropped. So they drop everything and they run. Line 842, they wished the mountains might be again thrown on them as a shelter. That's very reminiscent of Hosea 10:8. So the sun drives the wicked angels out of heaven and into the deep. Line 856, as a herd of goats or timorous flock thronged, drove them before him thunderstruck. That is what he does. Then line 871 tells us 9 days they fell. And that you can compare with book 1, line 50, that mentions those 9 days. The Son of God then has a victory ride. This is also a classical imagery. After you conquer your foe, you have a victory ride. In Rome, if you had conquered a foe and killed 5,000 persons, then you could have a triumph and march through the Roman Forum carrying your booty, slaves, kings, you name it, anything you have captured or brought back for the glory of Rome, you could have a triumph. And so this is very similar. It's the same type of thing. It's a victory ride. And so line 884, with jubilee advanced, and as they went, shaded with branching palm, and then they're singing to their victorious king, to the Son, the heir, and to the Lord, for him dominion given, at 887. Now remember, Raphael is telling this to Adam as a warning. So he winds this up, 893, thus measuring things in heaven by things on earth at your request, that thou mayest beware by what is past. Okay, so Raphael says to Adam, I want you to learn from what is past what might be now. Otherwise, it might have been hid to the human race. That's 896. And you need to know about the discord which befell, 897, and war in heaven among the angelic powers, and the deep fall of those too high aspiring who rebelled with Satan, he who envies now thy state. So Raphael tells Adam, Satan envies your state. That's line 900. Who now is plotting how he may seduce thee also from obedience. And Adam doesn't even have to wonder what obedience, because God has only given them one restriction, that with him, bereaved of happiness, thou mayest partake his punishment. So Raphael says, Adam, if you disobey, that's what Satan wants, because he wants you to join him in his punishment, in eternal misery. Line 905, which would be all his solace and revenge, as despite done against the Most High. Thee wants to gain companion of his woe, but listen not to his temptations. Warn thy weaker. That would be Eve, because she's not here, is she? Let it profit thee to have heard by terrible exchange the reward of disobedience. Firm they might have stood, yet fall. Remember, and fear to transgress. And this ends, we're halfway through. This is the end of book 6. I hope that by recapping those stories, it has helped you to understand the progression of the story so far, so you won't lose your place of where you're at. All right, I'll see you soon.